But be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident. Certain, undaunted. For I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you. And I've conquered it for you. God transmits his joy to his words. Living a Christ-centered life is the only source of true joy. Joy creates an atmosphere for God to move.
God. Hallelujah, word of Savior. Hallelujah, word of friend. Healing, saving, guiding, loving. He's with us even now.
Hallelujah. St. John's Gospel. Let's just start from there. St. John's Gospel, chapter. Was it 14? 16, 13. Okay. 16, 13. Just put it up. King James. Then the Amplified Translation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. We live in a chaotic world. We live in a world of troubles, in a world of sorrows, disappointments, fears, uncertainties. Hallelujah. Amen. We live in a world where every day we're hearing new economic issues. And you see, it's not just peculiar to Nigeria. The U.S., as we talk now, is heading for a recession. Are you aware? People are suffering. People are stressed. It's a global thing. The God of this world, the spirit of destruction, has been unleashed upon the nations. But there's a sure way out. Glory to God. There's a sure way out. You see, the chaos, the troubles, the disappointments, the crisis, the security issues in the world can make you think sometimes that, look, it's logical to be anxious. It's logical to be concerned in a way that borders on paranoia. It's logical to even be depressed. Amen. Because a lot is going on in the world. A lot is going on. That's the truth. But you see, we live beyond human logic. There's nothing that is happening now that Jesus has not told us about. Absolutely nothing. He says, in the world you will have troubles. You will have tribulations. That's King James. There'll be disappointments. There'll be trials. You can put a scripture on. But it makes no difference. That's what Jesus said. He said, but be of good cheer. So joy is not the absence of chaos in the world. Being of good cheer is not the absence of tribulations, chaos in the whole world or even around you. Joy is supernatural. Joy is of the spirit. Joy comes from God. And it's important we understand that. It has nothing to do with what's happening around. Put a scripture for me, please. Absolutely nothing to do with what's going on. It has everything to do with what the Lord has said. He said, these things I've spoken unto you that in me you may have peace. We have peace in him. This is not the peace that the United Nations gives. This is not the peace that the world governments give. This is the peace of God. The peace that made Jesus sleep in the storm. That is the peace. It's called supernatural peace. You know, in Philippians, we're going to get there shortly. He said, be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. 12 years ago, I meditated. Yes, 13, 12 years ago. Before God, I tell you the truth, Alino. I meditated on that scripture. That is Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, I believe. I meditated on that scripture along with 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. I don't know if I'm getting it right. When he said, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. In the Amplified, he says, he cares for you abundantly and cares about you watchfully, affectionately. Hallelujah. You see, I sat down with those two scriptures. I meditated on them until I lost all the fears, all the anxieties, all the concern. at a point, the way I was at peace, I had to ask myself if I was responsible. Amen. Certain things will be happening and it doesn't get to me. Why? God's word has ministered his peace to me. His peace. I love God though, as years ago, I loved God passionately, but I had tendencies for anxiety. Oh yes, I did. I worried about who I'll marry. I worried about many things. Amen. It just comes. One day I told myself, the Bible is clear. He said, be anxious for nothing. What does nothing mean? Nothing means nothing. Be anxious for nothing. He said, but in everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your request known to God. He says, and the peace of God, the peace of God that surpasses human understanding. That means you are at peace. No one can understand why you are at peace.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hi. Hi. Yes, sir.
They can't. That's why he calls it the peace that beggars human understanding. Man cannot understand it. And only the power of God can minister such peace. No human words can do it. Except words energized by the Spirit. You know, there was a tragedy some years ago. Someone that is close to us lost her husband and 3 children in one day. Amen. And what do you want to tell her? What do you want to tell her? I knew God had to do his work. Because she became our prayer point. Do you understand? Until, you know, after some times, I asked her, I said, how did you go through this? She said, she cannot understand. That there's no human way for her to be alive. It was just 6 months after their 20th wedding anniversary. So the 19-year-old died, the 17-year-old died, the 15-year-old died. So like all her labor. Are you here? Satan is very wicked. Extremely wicked. You know, when the Bible says, give no space to the devil. Don't give him space. Don't give him space. Don't give him space. Always follow the leading of the Spirit. And do you know, he kept telling the husband, don't travel today. I just feel you should not travel today. Are you here? What was the lesson there? Follow the leading of the Spirit. Follow the leading of the Spirit. Second lesson, there are things that only the peace of God can minister. Why did I paint that? That is as extreme as it can get. Such things maybe happen in a place once in 20 years. Have you ever heard such things before? Just, are you with me? But as extreme as that is, the peace of God is superior. The peace of God is real. Glory to God forevermore. And that's what Jesus is saying. My peace. Go back to the scripture. He said, these things I said unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world, you will have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.
Yes,
hallelujah. Give me the message translation. I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. Your master has overcome the world. Your father has overcome the world. What does that mean? There's nothing to be afraid of. Nothing is worth your anxiety. Aye. Write it somewhere. Nothing is worth your anxiety. Write it again. Nothing is worth you getting depressed. Nothing. Nothing. Hallelujah. Is it, I told you all this so that, trust me. No. Amplify. Amplify Classic. Thank you, Jesus. I've told you these things that in me you may have perfect peace. Perfect peace. You know, this shalom is talking about. Perfect peace. And confidence. In the world, you will have what? Tribulations. Trials. Distress. What else? I think it's on the screen. What else? Frustrations. He said, but be of good cheer. You know, I would say cheer up. He means be happy. Be joyful. Be of good cheer. Cheer up. Be happy. Not because of the tribulations. Be happy. Take courage. Be confident. Certain. Undaunted. For I have overcome the world. Then he goes further to explain. I have deprived it of power to harm you. So all the this was what Jesus knew. This is why he was sleeping at the rear. When the boat was about to turn upside down. And the disciples were afraid. He was sleeping. And when he came out, he was not jittery. He didn't say, oh my God, what do I do? What do I do? Oh, Father, Lord. Lord Jesus, Lord God. Amen. Pray of fear. Have you heard it before? No. He woke up from the sleep with all the confidence in the world. You know, knowledge sponsors confidence. Spiritual knowledge sponsors spiritual confidence. It does. There are things you know and you'll never be afraid. One of our fathers in the faith was hacking this government just before the last election. Of course, he still hacks them. Hallelujah. Have you ever heard that they sent DSS to him? Have you ever heard? So somebody met him one day and said, sir, can you just calm down? Notice about wicked. He laughed. He said, their master is afraid of me. Do you understand? The devil, their master. And if you had to go by hierarchy, they are not even up to 1 millionth in the hierarchy of the kingdom of darkness. So he said, their master, I take on their master. Do you understand? So he said, don't worry. Don't bother. I know what I'm doing. Spiritual knowledge sponsors confidence. There are things you know and you act in a certain way. Yes. You know, many years ago, I believe it was Dr. David Oedipo that was in the hotel. And story had it that Amrobas came to the hotel and was robbing. He was in his pajama. He was in the hotel with his wife. He went on to minister shooting. And then he came out of his room to the reception also. And he saw them. He told him, he said, hey, he drew the line. It's a cross. Are you here? Are you here? And they took their guns and went away. They didn't cross. Who does that? Spiritual knowledge sponsors spiritual confidence. You know, when you're watching wrestling, WWE, you are told, do not try this at home. Are you here? Hallelujah. Except you are endured by the Holy Ghost. And you will know. You can't guess it. You will know. Archbishop Idahosa was hosting some guests from the U.S. And then there were robbers in Benin at his gate, banging and banging and banging. Banging and banging with guns. He said, who are you? He said, we are men of the night. Open this door. He said, I'm a man of the day. Wait for me there. Wait for me there. Wait for me there. You disturb me. Wait for me there. By the time he came out, they had run away. Run away. What did Elisha say to the servants? When they were surrounded by the army of Samaria. I don't know why I'm talking about this, but is it blessing someone? When they were surrounded by the entire army of Samaria, the king of Assyria had sent, the king of Syria had sent soldiers to arrest Elisha. Why? The things he said in his bedroom were being discussed between Elisha and the king of Israel. So he said, who is our adversary among you? He said, no, Elisha the prophet. He said, oh king, the things you talk about, even in your bedchamber, Elisha hears them. By what technology? He sent soldiers to arrest him. This is where I'm going. He woke up very peaceful. The servant went out and saw the whole place was surrounded with chariots. He ran, he said, alas, master, we're in trouble. The mountains are surrounded. He didn't need to pray. He didn't need to ask God. It was a knowing. That's what I'm talking about. Too. Staying in the word until a knowing dawns on you. I told... Okay. Let me not quote first service too much. We're still going to get there. He said, fear not. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And he said, Lord, open the eyes of the young man that he may see. And God opened the eyes of his servant. And he saw that the mountains were surrounded. Those soldiers thought they surrounded them. But the soldiers didn't know that even them were surrounded. Oh. They were surrounded by invisible army. The host of heaven. The bodyguards that Elijah left for him. You know, Elijah did not go with the chariots of fire. He went up with the whirlwind. Hallelujah. There's a knowing. Amen. He said, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Nothing should take your joy. Your father is greater than all. Nothing. Is it money that's making you anxious? There's so much. No money. Has any money left the earth to heaven or to hell? Since the beginning of the world. So when you hear, there's no money, they are lying to you. Don't pay attention. Where did the money go to? Talk to me now. Even the thieves that steal, they use the money on the earth. Money has not gone anywhere. It's just the systems of men being manipulated to enslave others. But your father is greater than all. Your father is greater than all. Hallelujah. So joy is a big deal. And our joy is not anchored to this unstable world. Our joy is not anchored to these mercurial world systems. Our joy is anchored to the unshakable God. It's anchored to El Shaddai, the all-breasted one. Pediatricians will tell you that everything the child needs for the first 6 months is in the breast milk. That's what we call, I'm using that to explain the all-breast for you. It's in the breast milk. Meaning there's nothing that the child needs that is not supplied in the breast milk. Meaning there's nothing you'll ever need that is not supplied in El Shaddai. That's what he's talking about. It's all supplied for. Hallelujah. Joy is a big deal. Oh yes, joy is a big deal. You're wondering why you should study joy for a whole month. Joy is a big deal. I gave 5-7 reasons in first service. If I run through them very fast, and then we'll go into some other things. Joy is important. And this is why Satan attempts to steal your joy. This is why Satan is after your joy, because it's important. Satan cannot vanquish a joyful believer. He can't. He can't defeat a joyful believer. It's not possible. He can't. You see, Satan fights what he fears. You can look at what Satan attacks, and then you know what he's afraid of. He's afraid of your prosperity. He's afraid of your joy. But don't let him steal it. Hallelujah. Quickly, 7 reasons why joy is important. While we're talking about joy. Number one, God is big on joy. Joy is a big deal to God. He's not a sad and gloomy God. He rejoices. Zephaniah 3:16-17. The Bible says he rejoices over us with singing. He rejoices over us with singing. Psalm chapter 2 verse 4. Is that he that sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Most High shall have them in derision. Are you with me? You know what derision means? It means to laugh to scorn. To laugh in contempt. He said, he that sits in the heaven shall laugh. He rejoices over us with singing. Go and meditate on that Zephaniah 3. Hallelujah. God is big on joy. The Bible is a happy book. Glory to God. Yes, it is. If you add all the words joy, rejoicing, celebration in the Bible, you will have over 2,700 words. That is big. So the Bible is a happy book. And God commands us to be joyful. He said, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. Triple emphasis. Rejoice in the Lord is already present continuous. But he wanted it to be doubly sure. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. Always. Always means all the time. He now added, for you to be triply sure, again I say, rejoice. Listen, major on what God majors in. Write a song. There are Christians, when they come to church, I'm saying, rejoice, shout. They're just looking like this. Like this is not a big deal. Just go straight to the word. That's the wrong attitude. As we'll see shortly, you cannot walk in kingdom dominion with that kind of attitude. It's not possible. Are you with me? Major, now, some of you, I grew up in an Orthodox church till I was a teenager, maybe 12, 13, praise God. You see, speaking in tongues was treated as a minor. Some of you were there. A big minor. We went to an evangelism yesterday. I still met someone like that. He told me that speaking in tongues is a gift for some people. Amen. Hallelujah. God was gracious to him. I took our time to explain. Are you with me? Now, why am I using that as an example? Imagine being a Christian without speaking in tongues. Imagine prosecuting a global gospel enterprise without speaking in tongues. How do you want to do it? Without learning how to be enabled by the Spirit, yielding to the Spirit to be enabled and majorly to speaking in tongues. Why am I saying this? There were people who mitered, and they had biblical justification for not emphasizing the things that are a big deal to God. And guess what? It was Satan who sponsored those ideologies. In fact, in certain quarters, they say speaking in tongues is being possessed by evil spirit. But it's a major with God. Paul said, if you summarize the secret of the success of his ministry, I speak in tongues more than you all. Yet he's despised. The same thing with joy. The same thing with rejoicing. Again, I tell you this. Learn to major in what God majors in. And minor in what he minors in. Because in the kingdom, there are majors and there are minors. Are you with me? He commands it and is committed to make it come to pass. How does God transmit his joy to you? Through his words. Through his words. So he's a joyful God and he commands us to be joyful. Say amen, somebody. Amen. Hallelujah. Number two. Joy is a part of your skill set for dominion. Just like righteousness. Romans chapter 4 verse 17. Romans 4 17. He's saying joy is a distinguishing factor of the kingdom of heaven. Meaning to unleash joy is to unleash the dominion of the kingdom. Don't forget that. For the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but righteousness and peace. And joy in the Holy Ghost. I need this church to respond. You say the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but righteousness. Peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That is the kingdom of God. Remember the song? Joy in the Holy Ghost. Joy is a manifestation of the kingdom. That's what he's saying. It's a skill set for kingdom dominion. Hallelujah. It's a skill set. There are victories connected to your joy. Hallelujah. You unleash the power of the kingdom through joy. That's the second reason. You see why Satan fights your joy? Number three, joy multiplies the productivity of your effort. It does. Joy is a capital. You've heard us say that before. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 30:19. Let me rush this. Number four, joy is a catalyst. I'm rushing this. You can get it part one so you get a balance there. Joy is a catalyst that causes the earth to yield her best for you. Hallelujah. Psalm 67, 1-7. Hallelujah. He said, let the people praise you, O God. Let the people praise you. He said, then the earth shall yield her increase. He said, let the nations rejoice and be glad. Then the earth shall yield her increase. There's a scripture I want us to read, Joel chapter 1, verse 10-12, quickly. Joy is the catalyst that causes the earth to yield her best for you. Joel chapter 1, verse 10 to 12. Joel 1, 10 to 12. I need you to look at the screen or look at your Bible. He said, the field is wasted. He said, without joy, the earth does not yield. He doesn't yield. The field is wasted. The land mourneth, for the corn is wasted. The new wine is dried up. The oil languishes. I mean, these are all negative stuff. You see, when you see things like this, you know Satan is stealing.
Yes, sir.
Satan is present. But as we read further, you will see Satan's strategy. I read a book years ago. Listen to a message. Then later I read the book. If Satan can't steal your joy, he can't keep your goods. By Jerry Savelle. If you can lay hold on the message, you can go and listen to it. You see, he said, be ashamed, O husbandmen, hold and all that. Go to verse 12. Go to verse 12 very quickly. Verse 12. He said, the vine is dried up and the fig tree languisheth. The pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, the apple tree, even all the trees of the field are withered. Why? Because joy is withered away from the sons of men. If there is no joy, the earth cannot yield. Now, the examples he gave was from an agrarian era. Amen. So there are many examples to give today. IT business is failing. Okay, your online business is failing. Nothing is working because joy has withered from your heart. Tap your neighbor, say, don't let joy wither from your heart. Hallelujah. Number five now. Joy is the fetcher of the harvest. That means is your harvester. Glory to God. With which you harvest the blessings of salvation. Salvation has blessings. Yes, it does. He said with joy, Isaiah 12, with joy you draw water from the wells of salvation, right? Yes, salvation has blessings. You see, this is the confusion. What God has done versus what I need to do to enjoy what God has done. That's the confusion of many believers. Salvation has been put into your spirit. Everything you need is inside. He said, joy is a fetcher, is a guga, amen. Hope I pronounce it well. Or is the pump, hallelujah. Modern man. Number six, your joy is a message to a dying world. A message of hope to a dying world. A message of hope to a dying world. A.W. Tozer said, the Christian owes the world to be supernaturally joyful. How true that is. Joy is part of the works you manifest. Hallelujah. That men may see your good works and give glory to your Father, which is in heaven. Number seven, joy creates the atmosphere for the move of God. For God to move consistently. Psalm 16 verse 11. Hallelujah. So now, we gave all these reasons so you can see why Satan is after your joy and why you must fight for your joy. How does God transmit his joy consistently? Through his word. John chapter 15 verse 11. Quickly. We'll read that and we move. Hallelujah. Through his word. Through his word. He said, these things I have spoken unto you, that my joy may remain in you. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy may remain in you. And that your joy may be full. How does God transmit his joy? By what he speaks. His word is his vehicle that transmits and transports his joy to your heart. That's what he's saying. Listen. Every time you notice that your joy is reducing, watch who you are giving your ears to. That's the truth. Watch what you are giving your ears, your eyes, and your mouth to. Because it's impossible for the gospel to be the Lord of your ears and joy not rule over your heart. It's impossible. That's what he's saying. Every time you hear the word of God, it ministers the joy of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. And some of you know what I'm talking about. You sit and listen to God's word and suddenly your emotions begin to change. Listen, God's word has power even over your emotions. That's what he's saying. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I said glory to God. All right, so what is the secret of true joy? What is the source of true joy? Write this down. Write this down. And this is going to be the crux of our discussion for these 4 months. Are you ready? Christ-centered living is the only source of true joy. Or living a Christ-centered life is the only source of true joy. Christ-centered life, Christ-focused life is the only source of true joy. Now, I don't think I've said this in this service. Please go and read the book of Philippians because it's our landing page for this teaching. Amen. We'll be studying from the book of Philippians, which is considered the happy book of the New Testament. Hallelujah. We'll be learning from the letter of from the letter that Paul wrote to the Christians at Philippi from prison. Look up at me. What a paradox that a man in prison is writing to free men on how to be joyful. He tells them, rejoice always. Again, I say rejoice. Be anxious for nothing. You know, when you are in trials, in tribulations, in difficult season, and you receive such instruction, I mean, responding with joy sounds counterintuitive, right? It does. But this is the wisdom of God. Why was Paul able to write such things? Why was Paul able to write? Listen, because what he wrote was an expression of his life. Why? Because his life was Christ-centered. Hallelujah. It was Christ-centered. So we'll take the first three things. Number one, joy is a focus. Two, joy is a fruit of the Spirit. And three, joy is a fight. Hallelujah. Joy is first a focus before it's a feeling. We live in a world that has magnified feelings so much. I mean, listen, the way the world is going, we're going to disown facts for feelings very soon if nothing is done. Are you with me? That means you can come and say, this is the fact. Or someone will say, but this is how I feel. It's happening already. We have made gods out of feelings. This generation has made idols out of their feelings. We are not ready to submit feelings to facts, feelings to truth. And that is destructive. Glory to God. Unfortunately, many people are bringing that into the gospel. You are not treating your spouse well, and you are saying, that's how I feel. You are not treating people well, and you are saying, that's how I feel. That is a self-centered life, not a Christ-centered life. So we say, joy is primarily a focus before it feeling. Hallelujah. Give me the scripture, Psalm 16, verse 8. I want all of us to read this. We did this in first service. I want us to read this. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm excited. I'm excited. He says, I have set the Lord always before me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he's at my right hand, I shall not be moved. What follows? Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. I have set the Lord always before me. I have set the Lord always before me. This is the root of joy. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my tongue, all my glory, rejoices. This was Paul's secret. You see, I love the word of God. He gives it to you as it is. That means if your heart is not glad, and your tongue is not rejoicing, and your flesh is not resting in hope, you know what that means? You are agitated. You are anxious. You are restless. If all of that is happening, check what you have said before you. It could just be a personal ambition you have set before you. It could just be self-indulgence you have set before you. That's what he's saying. It's impossible for the Lord to be before you and your heart not be glad. It's primarily a focus. Primarily a focus before it's a feeling. It's a focus. Who have you set before you? I have set the Lord always before me. Because it's at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices, and my flesh also shall rest in hope. Christ-centered living. Hallelujah. The first focus is focus on the Lordship of Jesus. That's the first focus. Focus on the Lordship of Jesus. Oh. His Lordship is the Lordship of love. Have you focused on His love? How much gaze do you give to His love? He says, I have loved you with an everlasting love, and with my loving kindness, I have drawn you close. What is your focus? How much focus, concentration, attention do you give to the love of God? How much of attention do you give to meditate on the love of the Father towards you? I have loved you with an everlasting love. You see, once you know that a certain person loves you, certain cares are taken care of. Selah. Selah. You don't worry about certain things, true or false. Imagine the president of the United States of America coming and say, look, I just love you. I just love you. That statement has implication, because love will always make provision for the beloved. Love will always defend the beloved. Love is a responsible word. You see, the problem is not God's love towards us. Apostle John said, we have known and believed the Father's love. Listen, every time Satan attacks you, one of the things he's attacking is your consciousness of the Father's love. That's replete all two scriptures. He questions the word and questions your consciousness of the Father's love for you. You remember Paul's writing in Romans 8? He said, what shall separate us from what? From the love of the Father. Tribulations, hunger, nakedness, things present, things to come. He said, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, things present, things to come, tribulations, trials, shall be able to separate me. Separate us from what? From the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Can you magnify God's love for you? It is a lordship of love. Christians that know God loves them are always happy. But they're always happy. But they are carefree, you understand? They don't care. They are not anxious about anything. You see, God is faithful. I judge God faithful. Even when unpleasant things happen, you know what comes out of their mouth? I know God has gone ahead. Oh, He loves me so much. He has gone ahead. He is not irresponsible. He has gone ahead. What that does is it energizes your faith. And with that faith that is energized, you are able to take the delivery of God's provision. He works like a loop. God loves you. He knows you want to marry. He knows. Amen. He's aware that you need that money. He's aware that you need that visa. He's aware. He knows. And He has made provision for it. Why not see that He has made provision for it? That is focusing on the lordship of love. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He's big enough to take care of you. This is the B part. His lordship should command your total allegiance and trust. Give me Philippians 1:1-2. Let me just show you something there. Whoever will stop. Hallelujah. I'm out of time. Amen. Just give me a few minutes. Philippians 1:1-2. Focusing on His lordship means His the lordship of Jesus in your life. You need to get this. The lordship of Jesus in your life should be compelling enough in your heart for Him to command your total allegiance and trust. So let Him be Lord of all. Like somebody said, if he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. Hallelujah. Let him be Lord of all. Look at Paul. He said, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ. Now, this translation servant doesn't capture the word used. There are many words used in the New Testament translated as servant, but the word used here is different. It's doulos. Doulos means a slave. He means a born slave. Are you with me? And that combines two things in one. A slave has no right. A slave has no say. Are you with me? Your servant can go on vacation. Your servant can go on leave. Your servant can quit. But the slave cannot. That means he's saying, I belong to God 100%. That means he's saying, oh, glory to God. Can I talk to you this morning? He's saying, I am God's property. That's what doulos means. That's what born servant means. Now, why is the expression born servant? Because if you remember, in the Jewish culture, even a slave, after 7 years, gets his freedom. But see, there's a clause to that law that a slave, okay, watch this, who is a property of the owner, can decide even after he's free to remain with his owner while he trusts the judgment, the love, and integrity of his owner. And he's saying, sir, I know I'm free according to the culture, but I want to serve you all my life. That is a bond slave. I have a choice, but I've decided to be your property all my life. That is a bond slave. And culturally, what they'll do is they'll use a nail to pin the slave's ear to the door as a sign of his eternal allegiance to his master. So he's not bound. Now, that means he's a slave because he's in love with his master. He's a slave because he trusts his master. That I'm not sure, watch this, I'm not sure of the next master I'm going to have. I'm not sure where life may take me, but with this man I am secured.
Yes, sir.
I'm confident that he can take care of me. That is the ayah for the joyful believer. That relationship, that kind of relationship with God, must be clear on your mind. You are a born slave. Oh, hallelujah. You are a born slave. You don't own your life anymore. You are God's property. This is the root of true joy. You are God's property. You are his to command. This is what Paul was saying. Listen, what is true freedom? Freedom is not the ability to do what you want to do. No, that is slavery. True freedom is to be bound to a higher cause. Those who are struggling to stop smoking, pornography, alcohol today are slaves of something. They are so, watch, let me say this way. They are now slaves by false freedom. How did they get there? They felt they were free. I can smoke what I want to smoke. Nobody can talk to me. Until they were enslaved. Let me tell you. Doing what you want to do is not freedom. It's not freedom. It's false freedom. It leads to slavery. And that's what Paul was saying. That I'm truly free because I'm a born slave of Adonai. That's what Paul was saying. We think freedom is enabled. Nobody should talk to me. Nobody should tell me what to do. That's not freedom. That's not freedom. It is later you figure it's not freedom. One of my pastors used to say this, that the most dangerous, I think it's pastor, the most dangerous phase to be is to be young. And I totally agree. How, you know, the deception is you have it all figured out. I've it all figured out, I've calculated. This guy blew now, it's not difficult. All this happened. You are trying. Listen, follow God's law and have peace. It's as simple as that. true freedom is being a slave of God. You are not free because you can do what you want to do. No. That is the foundation for consistent sorrow and stress. Are you with me? And most times, don't get it twisted. That being a born servant of God, his instruction will come through a man. It will come through a man. That means that every time you must have a human figure whose words are laws to you. It's compulsory. Whose words are important to you. This is why it's important to be pastored, to be committed to a local church. You see, not everybody who comes to church is being pastored. No. This is why it's important to be pastored. Being pastored means you have come under the authority of what we call pastoral or apostolic government, whatever name you want to call it. Are you with me? Can I get an amen? You are not free outside of God's system. You're not. You're not. You know, our ministry is 10 years this year, and I'm with a lot of pain in my heart. I look back. We're having pastor's retreat. That was 2 weeks ago. I looked back and I saw a lot of people that we started ministry together between 2010 and 2012. In the city, around the region, in other city that I knew. Some are not available. Some are nowhere to be found. With a lot of pain in my heart. But I made the observation. That idea of being a man of myself is the pain of many people. It's their pain and their stress. You can't be. From day one, I was an accountable young pastor. Very accountable. Very accountable. And it's not just for pastors. For every church person, every believer, there must be a spiritual mentorship, spiritual accountability system. This is why God set up the local church. Accountability system. Are you with me? So I can't just travel to Lagos and nobody knows. Oh, you see me in Dubai. You see me in London and nobody knows. No. Oh. Hallelujah. Never forget this. True freedom is to be a servant of a person and a cause higher than you. That's true freedom. That's true freedom. Never forget that as long as you live. Are you blessed? If you are blessed, shout amen.
Amen.
Glory, glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Focusing on the concern of others. Sin challenges us opportunities. I'm out of time. We'll continue next week Sunday. Are you blessed? Are you sure you're blessed? Rise to your feet. Yeah, that was a short shout. Do it again. That's legendary. That was legendary. Did you hear yourself? Yeah. Give the Lord a shout. Better. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, glory. Glory. All right, so we will continue from, you can see, Jesus. We are still in, joy is the focus. And under that, we are still on number two. So joy is the fruit of the Spirit. Joy is a fight. Hope to finish that, all that next week. You are going to be blessed. On Tuesday, we'll actually continue with the teaching on Tuesday. But not this one. On Tuesday, we're talking about spelling joy. Amen. Hallelujah. And let me announce, fixed Tuesday service. Services as part of your schedule. Hallelujah. Praise God. Just lift your hands toward heaven and say, Father, thank you for the entrance of your word that has given me life, light, illumination, strength. Bless the Lord, oh my soul.
Oh, my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, worship His holy name. Oh, bless the Lord. Worship His holy name. Sing like never. Oh, my soul, worship, worship.
Can we do this one more time?
Bless the Lord.
Oh, my soul.
Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to do something very quickly before we break bread. Philippians chapter 4 verse 4 from the Good News Translation. The Good News Bible. I want to show us something there. And then I want you to rejoice. Okay? Now, I want you to put whatever is stressing your life now side by side with the power of God. Are you with me? And then rejoice. That's what I want you to do. I want you to put it side by side with your union with the King, your union with Jesus, and then rejoice. Can I read it for you? He said, you know the King James said, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Hear this. He said, may you always be joyful in your union with the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. That means I'll get into that next week. Your sense of identity is in your connection with the Lord. Your sense of identity is your union with Jesus. The money in your bank account doesn't define you. You may have $10 million. It's beautiful. Use it for the kingdom, but it doesn't define you. The color of your skin doesn't define you. Are you with me? The kind of family you came from, who likes you? Who doesn't like you doesn't define you. Your identity is in your relationship with the Lord. That's where your identity and your true worth is. And he's saying from that rejoice. Hallelujah. Because he has called you more than conqueror. Hallelujah. So we're going to do that what do you have? What is stressing your life? Your health, your marriage, your finance? What is it? Ministry? What is it? Put it side by side. You will close your eyes if you can. We're going to sing this song. I will sing hallelujah till you come again. We'll sing that song for 3 minutes. You put it side by side and rejoice. You don't have to sing it. Okay, the worship team, Chioke will sing it. You will rejoice. You will smile. You will dance. If you can sing it, beautiful. But in 3 minutes, I say, Father, thank you. You are bigger. You are greater. You are stronger. You are bigger than what is before me. You are stronger. You are greater. You are bigger. You are stronger. You are greater. Some of you, the anointing will come upon you. Tears will flow down your eyes. Just make it a very personal moment. Now, it may not be a challenge. It could be, where is the next level for you? And you have tried and tried, and it's as though you are not breaking into it. I want you to rejoice. Rejoice. Sing till he comes, dance in his presence. And say, Lord, you are stronger. You are bigger. I want you to be definite, because there will be miracles from this session, from this practice. Hallelujah. Are you ready?
Hey, I will sing hallelujah till you come again. I will dance in your presence till you come again.
Now you can literally dance as you make the declaration.
I will sing hallelujah till you come again. Shout in your presence. Shout in your presence. Shout in your presence.
Shout in
your presence. Shout in your presence. Shout in your presence. Shout in your presence. Clap in your presence.
Presence. Shout!
Hey!
Shout!
And I will not be shy. Come on, lift your hands and sing the song all over this place. Make that your declaration. It doesn't matter how hard the devil tries, as long as I will. Anybody ready?
matter what I go through, as long as
your
shout. As long as your deliverance is in your praise.
For the last time, for the last time,
and I will. The devil cannot keep me quiet. Circumstances cannot keep me quiet. As long as I can breathe.
Hallelujah.
Hey!
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh. Hear me. The Lord spoke to me. He said, this month there will be miracles of joy.
Amen.
That means, this is why I love the last song. That means, listen, oh, don't be quiet. Don't be silent. Praise Him through the night. Rejoice through the difficulties. Yes, praise Him and rejoice as you are waiting. You know, the heart desires, the manifestations have not come. Rejoice.
Hey.
He said, rejoice in the Lord always.
Yes, sir.
Again, I say, rejoice. You see,
yes,
part of what I was talking earlier is this. Talking about earlier is this. You know, Satan has brainwashed the church so much. We think that rejoicing is not powerful. We think it's only when we pray powerful prayers that miracles happen. No, no. Can I tell you something? He's on the same scale with your prayer.
Yes, sir.
Are you with me? He's on the same scale. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
As we're rejoicing, I saw miracles happening. You know? I saw chains broken. Yes, yes, yes. I saw somebody, Satan was trying to steal something from you. But as you began to rejoice, it had to be returned. In the name of the Lord Jesus, the devil will not take your shout from you. The devil will not take your joy from you. The devil will not take your harvest from you. In the name of Jesus, shout it, I receive miracles of joy. Because it's my month of joyful harvest. Hey, glory! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, if a man in prison waiting to die could rejoice, then you don't have a reason. Are you with me? I want to do me a favor. Every day, structure this thing. Raise an altar of rejoicing to the Lord. In your house, are you with me? With the word that the Lord has given you. With the word that the Lord... This is an instruction. Write this somewhere. Beginning from tonight. Tomorrow morning. Just raise an altar of rejoicing. 5-10 minutes. Look at the word and say, Father, thank you. You have brought me to revive. And then rejoice. Put a scripture before you. What did he say? I have set the Lord always before me. He said, because the Lord is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My glory rejoices. He said, my body also shall rest in hope.
Hallelujah.
This month, no agitations. Are you with me? No depressions. Are you with me? No gloomy days. It doesn't matter what happens. No, it doesn't matter. Your joy is on steroids. Your joy is on fire. Hallelujah. Now you know when the devil comes for your joy, you know what to say. Satan, you can't have my joy. Ah, Dr. Carey spoke about you. You have come. You can't have my joy. It doesn't matter what the person did. It's not important. Protect your joy. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you for sending your son to die for us. Blessed Jesus, we thank you for your body broken. We thank you for your blood poured out. We do this reverently. We'll just do this in 5 minutes very quickly so we can take our tithes and offerings and go. We do this reverently. We declare that out of us proceed thanksgiving and the voice of Mary. We are multiplied, we are not few. We are glorified, we are not small. With joy, we receive blessings. We fetch water from the wells of salvation. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Now, I want you to do this reverently. The essence of the communion is to remind you of the sacrifice of Jesus. You know that through that sacrifice, you are free. You have the victory. Your body is in health. Hallelujah. Bondages are broken. Hallelujah. You are in the million flow. Amen. You are in the billion flow. Amen. You know that through that you have dominion over the earth. Listen, everywhere blood is shed, favor is released. That means through the sacrifice, you know the favor of the Lord upon your life has increased. Upon that business has increased. Are you with me? This blood is the answer for sin. So you know through this blood, the power of sin is broken. Do it in faith. And say, Jesus, this is your body I'm taking. You are my Lord and my Savior. The power of sin is broken. The power of the world is broken. The power of sickness is broken. The power of fear is broken. And I walk in victory continually. In the name of Jesus, your heart desires are granted. So as you partake of this, very quickly, you speak those words. Don't be quiet. You speak those words. Father, we thank you. Jesus will receive your body and your blood poured in Jesus' name.
You are holy, holy, you are holy. You are holy, holy, you are holy. Lamb of God, seated at the right hand.
Holy, you are holy. the Lamb slain. See the Lamb slain.
Hallelujah. Praise God. You can go ahead and take the communion.
Beloved, we know you've been blessed by God's word today. For more life-transforming messages like this, you can visit our website, library.gloryzoneglobal.org, and you can also follow us on our various social media platforms on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram at Glory Zone Church. Stay blessed.